You're listening to Sacks in the Basement, a production of the Broadcast Basement Limited, where every show is 30 minutes of good and comes from a basement bar on the south side of Chicago. Pull up a stool, pour a cold one, and join us right now for Sacks in the Basement. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at sacksinthebasement.com. Now is not the time for me to say we told you so.
Of course it is. Of course it's time to say we told you so.
Because after so many people said the opposite, and then right after it was announced, every entity I think that covers the White Sox that's out there was in total shock and surprise over the fact that Michael Kopech was moving to the bullpen. Everybody. Scott Merkin came on this show, and if you were paying close attention, did not agree with me in the least when I suggested that he was not making the rotation and shouldn't make the rotation.
And yet.
And now everybody is like, oh my goodness, he's being moved to the bullpen. How do you take a guy that was one of your big innings eaters last year and move him to the bullpen? Who's going to pitch? Why would they do this? We've explained why they're doing this. He's not a good starting pitcher.
Right.
He's had plenty of opportunities, and he will thrive in the bullpen. And we called it back in September. We said it all throughout the offseason. And that's what happened. And the other thing that we called, Ed, that I'm sorry, I'm going to puff my chest out here a little bit. I don't know how I feel about the return for Dylan Cease, but I did say Chris Getz, whether he's right or wrong, is not going into a long rebuild. And that if he brings back prospects, they will be quickly in the major leagues. And everybody brought back, including Thorpe, who is the gem of what was acquired, and has a ceiling of ace and a floor of probably third starter, but is definitely going to end up in your rotation, I believe, long term. He's probably got the best chance of any pitcher currently in the White Sox system now that he's been added there. He's coming in 2024. That seems really obvious. And everybody else involved in that trade has an ETA according to Major League Baseball's Pipeline Top 100 or their prospects list. All of these ETAs, if you look on all these prospect lists, all these players are coming this year or at the start of next year. And that's what I expected if you dealt Dylan Cease. I don't know about the return, my friend. It didn't blow my socks off. I would have liked to have more. I'm not celebrating and hitting high fives. But so far, I at least feel like we've identified the plan that this front office has for this team.
That's where everybody's been wrong this whole time, too. And I mean everyone has been wrong about why Dylan Cease is getting traded.
Even me? Am I wrong about why Dylan Cease was being traded?
Well, and I've joined in it, okay? But I gave it some thought after seeing what the return was and after thinking about this. Dylan Cease was never going to be on the 2024 White Sox the moment Chris Getz got into the general manager's seat. He was gone. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not Jerry was going to resign him. And I'm not going to debate that Jerry would not have spent the money that Scott Boras wants for Dylan Cease.
He would not have.
He would not have, but that's not why, okay? And it's not about a rebuild. It's not about selling off your best assets to get prospects back. Dylan Cease, for as good as he is, and don't mistake me here, he is a great arm. He has ace-level stuff. He is one of the top pitchers in Major League Baseball. But he does not fit what Chris Getz wants out of his starting staff. He is the exact opposite of what Chris Getz wants out of his starting staff. And that's why he was gone no matter what, because he doesn't fit what Getz and Brian Bannister want for this team.
Before we get into that, a quick reminder, this episode and every episode of Sox in the Basement brought to you proudly by Cork and Carry at the park in the shadow of the ballpark at 33rd and Princeton. The weekend this episode comes out, the place to be during the Southside Irish Parade on Sunday the 17th of March is the original location at 106th and Western. We will be out there. Come out, say hi, have a pint with us. And then throughout the season, pregame, postgame, in-game, the only place to be is Cork and Carry at the park in the shadow of the ballpark at 33rd and Princeton with an award-winning menu of burgers and ballpark favorites, every beer, spirit, and wine you can think of, and White Sox fans talking White Sox baseball and having a good time no matter what is going on the field. See more at corkandcarry.com. Can I guess what the difference is between these two pitchers? Let's say Thorpe coming in and Dylan Cease, because I read it right after the deal was made because I'm trying to find out whether or not I like the deal, right? I'm trying to learn about these guys. And Elijah Evans from Just Baseball and Future Sox is going to probably expound on this a lot when he talks about what we got back and explains who all these prospects are. But what I'm reading is that Drew Thorpe is the kind of guy that pitches the contact and goes deep into games, 7-8 innings. Very different from a Dylan Cease, who, while he gets a ton of strikeouts, has not done that consistently in his career, except for, I want to say, the second half of 2 years ago, when he went to a different way of kind of attacking batters. And this team is set up to play defense and have their starting pitchers pitch longer. Am I close on that?
You're very, very close. In fact, you're kind of right on top of it. But I would say Drew Thorpe, remember, Drew Thorpe led the minor leagues in strikeouts last year, too. Okay.
Ooh. And he was also, wasn't he like Cy Young of the minor leagues, or was he won some award?
Something like that. Yeah. So Drew Thorpe is exactly what you described. He's a guy not that pitches to contact, but he's a guy that pitches. Okay. Dylan Cease is a thrower. Dylan Cease has that ridiculous spin rate on his pitches, even in a post Spider Tack era, where he just has to chuck it up there, and batters cannot distinguish because it's spinning so hard, cannot distinguish between his slider, his fastball, his curveball. Okay. That's what makes him so unique as a pitcher. But it also makes him incredibly inefficient. Only 2/3 of his pitches actually come anywhere near the strike zone. The other third are outside the zone and easy for a batter to pick up when it's not going to be anywhere near the zone, right? But that's why you see him get into 9-pitch at bats. So it's why you see him get into all those 3-2 counts. That's why you see him at 100 pitches in the bottom of the fourth, you know, in his part of the fourth inning, not necessarily the bottom of the fourth, but in his part of the fourth inning, and why he's not going to get past 5 or maybe 6 very often, right? Chris Getz wants pitchers. He wants guys who use command and changing speeds and a little bit of deception, but know how to work the ball around. Drew Thorpe, that's what his deal is, okay? Spots his fastball. It's not an overwhelming fastball, but he spots it super well. His changeup is an amazing pitch, and he uses a slider effectively to throw guys off balance. Leads the minor leagues in strikeouts, gets deep into games. Eric Fetty comes back from the KBO. What did Eric Fetty do? He became a guy who spotted his fastball, uses a split change to try and throw guys off, uses a sweeper to try and throw guys off. When Chris Flexen, who, by the way, is not the best pitcher the Sox could have signed on the cheap, but when Chris Flexen comes in, when Chris Flexen was good a couple of years ago for the Mariners, he used his curveball and a changeup to offset a mediocre fastball that he spotted well to get guys out. Getz wants pitchers in his rotation. He wants guys who are going to go out there and pitch. He doesn't want any more throwers. Throwers are for the bullpen. That's why Michael Kopech is being demoted. He's a thrower. Throwers are for the bullpen. Come out and throw 98 miles an hour and have a slider, maybe one other pitch. I don't care. You're only supposed to get 4 guys out. It's fine. That's what Chris Getz is doing. And it shows with Drew Thorpe coming back. It really even shows with Iñárritu, who is the other guy that they got back, who, even though he has the cartoon stuff that he has a hard time sometimes commanding, and he's not had the best command in the minor leagues, still is a guy who consistently wins 6 innings in spite of the fact that he doesn't always know where the ball goes.
Right, but he may end up in the bullpen. But either way, I think he ends up on the team.
People are saying he may end up in the bullpen only because that's what the Padres wanted him to do last year. They just never called him up. Okay, if you look at his game log from last year, he built up, he was going consistently 6 innings in his starts. They turned him into a bullpen pitcher. Okay, moved him up to double A, turned him into a bullpen pitcher where he was only going 1 inning or so, 1 inning and a third, and then he slowly built back up. His last start, he was back at 6 innings. Okay, so this is still a guy who knows how to pitch and get through counts. Whether or not he has the stuff to do it, that remains to be seen. And when you talk about the return, I think that's what remains to be seen is, does he have the stuff to make it to the majors and be effective? Does Zavala, you know, can they fix the timing issue in his swing that causes the swing and miss?
Yeah, but here's the thing with Zavala. And this is what I found. This is how I felt after I saw him add into the deal. And I saw, even though he's young, he's somebody who they think could make the majors very quickly because of what he's done so far. I saw him as just another piece in the Chris Getz, we're going to have a lot of options that could possibly be standing in right field in 2025. Because you not only have Dominic Fletcher, who's the guy who's likely doing it this year, but Zach DeLoach will be an option next year. Oscar Colas is going to get another year to try to develop. And now here's this Zavala kid. It's not going to be, we have one heir apparent, and if he doesn't work out, we don't have an answer. We're going to have 4 possibilities plus payroll flexibility in case none of them are ready when it comes time to field the team next season. That's how I saw him being added into the deal.
Well, not only that, but if you think about it, everybody who was calling for that teenager from the Yankees, okay, who's the number 86 prospect, is right behind Drew Thorpe.
Spencer Jones.
No, not Spencer Jones. The other guy. The shortstop that everybody was we'll settle for him.
That's right. Roderick Arias. Arias. Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. So you look at him and, okay, teenager, great athlete, a lot of power, really smooth in the field. Sounds like Zavala, you know, what I've read about him. Except, you know, a lot of swing and miss because he chases pitches, doesn't know what the hell he's doing at this point. Zavala, they basically say, oh, yeah, he has a good command of the strike zone. He just uses that big leg kick and he misses pitches because he's so out of whack. Well, you calm his mechanics down like you did with Eloy Jimenez this year, you might have something, right? But you're right. It's building depth with Zavala.
We have our guest Elijah Evans from Just Baseball and Future Sox coming up here in moments to break these guys down a little bit more. Sox nerds on the show as well. The weather's getting warm. You may be looking at changing your exterior windows, doors, patio doors, and storm doors. Look no further than Window and Door Superstore of Oak Forest. No high-pressure sales. They're not in your house giving you a deal that if they walk out the door, the deal walks out with them. They don't do it that way. Instead, you go to their showroom. You see the owner right there. He answers all your questions. You have all of the examples, all of the windows and doors in full living color right in front of you in full size with all of the extras and add-ons there for you to see instead of inside of a catalog. When the install happens, it's all of their own installers and there's an owner on scene as well. They've been doing it this way in Oak Forest since 1985. All major brands, custom made, no stock items for a perfect fit. If you are in the Chicagoland area on the South Side, get over to 159th and Ridgeland, 6280 159th Street, to Window and Door Superstore of Oak Forest. See more at windowdooroakforest.com.
But really, back to the whole thing, everybody who's sitting there saying this is a rebuild, okay, and they're getting rid of Dylan Cease because they want to get younger and they want to rebuild. No, not entirely. It's because, you know, and everyone's saying, well, you know, screw Jerry, sell the team. He wouldn't have paid for him, and that's all it would have cost his money. I don't think Chris Getz would have re-signed Dylan Cease anyway. I really honestly think in trying to remake this team, he's sitting there saying, I want five or six guys for my starting rotation who are pitchers, guys that can go out there and finesse their way with good stuff through a lineup, okay? And Garrett Crochet's got to prove that, by the way, that he's not just a thrower like Michael Kopech was. And he's rebuilding this team in a way that matches what his vision for what a good baseball team is going to be. So that also ties into when you watch what he does with free agency. He may be looking at guys out there that, like, you know, what would stop him from going after Blake Snell and trying to give him a 1 or 2 year deal, a short term deal, okay? Well, Blake Snell is basically Dylan Cease, except for older and more fragile.
It's not his type of pitcher.
Not his guy.
Here's the question I want to ask you. I think I already know your answer, but I think it puts this in the perspective, okay? And then we're going to get to Elijah Evans here, who's going to get into more in-depth of what the White Sox acquired in this deal and where it all fits and when these guys are going to get here to the major leagues. But do you think it's possible that while in a role where he didn't have any control over roster construction within the team, Chris Getz saw the same thing we saw when the White Sox could not get through the Astros in the postseason? And it was, you didn't have a different type of pitcher. And they were able to go out there and just attack the throwers. And the Sox couldn't change anything up. So no matter what they brought in there, the Astros offense was going to mow right through them. And he sat there and said, we need a different type of guy on the mound. And that's why he's gone in this direction.
Yes, you can't have 13 guys who all do the same thing. You know, why do the White Sox get carved up by rookies sometimes, okay? Why do they get carved up by guys they haven't seen? Well, because if guys come up and they can change speeds and they can spot their fastball, the Sox are dead meat. And we've seen that. But it's not just the White Sox. A lot of teams fall under that, okay? Dylan Cease is an ace. Padres got way better in that trade. But he's not Chris Getz's guy, and he was never going to be.
All right, so joining us on the phone line right now, we have Elijah Evans. He's been on the program before. He's from Just Baseball and also Future Sox. How are you, Elijah?
I'm doing good, Chris. How are you?
Good. We've been talking a little bit about what the White Sox got back for Dylan Cease, but I figured you, especially with your work with Just Baseball and also with Future Sox, may have a little bit more on the guys that were acquired. We kind of have a thought process as to what Chris Getz is doing. But when it comes to these actual prospects, all I can see is what I'm seeing, like when I look at MLB Pipeline.
Right.
So maybe take us through these guys, you know, one by one here. And we'll start with the guy that's right up at the top in Drew Thorpe. Now, what I'm reading is ceiling of an ace, probably a floor of a three, goes deep into games. and is not afraid to pitch the contact from time to time. What do you see with Drew Thorpe, and why is he so coveted that he was the big piece in the Juan Soto trade and now is the big piece in the Dylan Cease trade?
Yeah, Thorpe, you know, there's a lot to like with Thorpe, and I think it's kind of a selling high point. I think that's part of why he was traded now in two big blockbusters this offseason, because he's coming off a season in which he was probably one of the best pitchers in all of minor league baseball. He was named the MLB or minor league baseball pitcher of the year. So this is a guy who has a really strong pitch mix. His selling point is his changeup, right? He's got probably the best changeup in the minor leagues. I don't think that's a crazy statement. I think he's got a changeup that is pretty incredible. It's just not a pitch that anybody's able to touch. He had batters hit, I want to say around 120 on the changeup last year. So truly just a pitch that was dominant in every way. He has two different variations of the slider, with one being more of a sweeper, one being more of a traditional kind of sharp slider, which gives him a lot of variability the way he's able to move things around. The one question mark with Thorpe as he continues to evolve, and it didn't affect him last year at all because he was excellent, but one of the things to look at with him is the fastball is generally a pretty slow pitch. It has some movement, but it's not necessarily a fastball that jumps at you. So that's part of why, from what I've seen and what I've kind of read up on him in the last few days, it seems like he's more of, you know, the ceiling of a number two guy. I'm not sure I see a world where he's a legit ace of a rotation, but I think he's a high end for a starter piece, and at the very least, like a rotation pitcher. So it's a guy who, you know, is going to be at least a starter in a rotation in the major leagues at some point. I think there's a chance that, you know, from this season, we could see him, honestly. I mean, he got up to Double A last year, looked excellent. And that's a guy who, I think there's a chance at his age and having college experience and everything that he showed last year that he's up in the Sox rotation mid to late season this year. And ultimately, you know, top 100 guy in all of baseball, I think he's probably going to slot in the 60 to 80 range of prospects in Major League Baseball this year. And just a guy that, you know, it's not Dylan Cease right now, but I think Thorpe's someone that is a true, he deserves to be looked at as a headliner, because I think there's a lot of people that wanted certain prospects, you know, a Spencer Jones from the Yankees, who, yes, has more upside than a Thorpe probably does, but Thorpe's a headliner in his own right, and he's someone who is going to be part of this rotation for a long time, starting probably late this year.
You know, Ed has been trying to make the distinction on the show today about Chris Getz preferring pitchers over throwers.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why Michael Kopech is moving into the bullpen. One of the reasons why a guy like Drew Thorpe is probably enticing to him. Would you also put Thorpe in a pitcher over a thrower type category?
100%. That's exactly the way to categorize him. I think the stuff is good, right? Like the changeup and the slider variations are both excellent pitches in terms of stuff, but he's not overpowering batters. It's not the super high velo fastball. It's not the guy who's just trying to beat you by throwing it and just destroying you with his stuff. He outthinks guys, really. I mean, it's a dominant changeup that gets a lot of swing and misses, but it's also just a variation of his pitches. He, in addition to the four that I mentioned, he also throws a cutter that he mixes in there, especially kind of against lefties. So this is a guy who really knows how to pitch, and that became very evident last year. I mean, in high A, he just was better than everybody he faced, honestly, and then got up to Double A and was actually better down the stretch of the season. He was just excellent at the very end of the year in Double A. So he's just someone that I think, you know, is going to be really fun to watch and just knows how to pitch, and he's going to keep getting better. So I'm excited for Thorpe, and I think that while I typically prefer hitting prospects, generally speaking, just because of the modern day, you know, variability of pitchers and injury risk and all those other factors, right? I think Thorpe is someone that you feel really comfortable as a pitching prospect acquiring because he has such a deep bag and because he has so many layers to his pitching that he's not going to be someone you have to worry about becoming a reliever, I don't think, because he mixes all those pitches. He's known for the changeup. I do think he's a starting pitcher. And if you're getting a pitching prospect as the headliner, you want to know that they're a rotation piece. And I do feel that way about Thorpe. So that's it's a good start, honestly, to the deal.
All right. So now there's another pitching prospect that comes over. Iriarte looks like the kind of guy that could end up in the pen, but also has a really big mix of pitches. So if he could have a lot of control, the rotation is also something that's not out of the realm of possibility. How do you evaluate him?
I'm a huge fan of Iriarte. I know there's been some people that see Zavala as more, we'll get to him later, but see him as more of the second piece. I think Iriarte is very clearly the second piece in this deal. I get the reliever risk, but I think this guy's a starter, man. I really do. I think he's super athletic. He's really young still. He has a lot of life to continue to grow. The fastball is excellent. So this is kind of a different style of pitcher from Thorpe, which if you're going to get two pitchers, in a headline like this, right, I want them to be different. And that's what's cool about Uriarte is he's a very different profile, you know, totally different style of pitcher. The high velocity fastball sits 96, 97, a lot of run, a lot of movement on it. Just someone that, you know, can really pound at the fastball in addition to a slider that is really solid. He got a lot of swing and miss on the slider. He held hitters to pretty much minimal contact on the pitch. The command can be a little iffy, like you mentioned, right? Like there is some risk there. I get the fact that there's a reliever risk because of the command, but at the same time, the strikeout rates are insane. I mean, he was striking out over 30%, I think 33% of batters last year, you know, not allowing a lot of hard contact. Really just, it's almost slightly Dylan Cease reminiscent, may I say. I mean, Thorpe is totally different from Cease. Uriarte, I can see it a little bit. I mean, it's command that needs to get better. He's over 11% walk rate last year, so he needs to work on that. He needs to continue to fine-tune it, especially with the slider. The slider has a lot of sharp movement, but it is kind of a pitch that it can get away from him at times. He struggles to really throw it for a strike at this point in his career. And then he's got his third pitch, which is a changeup, that flashes stuff. He hasn't used it as, you know, nearly as much as his fastball and his slider, but if he can really continue to work on the changeup, then you're looking at a three pitch mix of a guy that could be a starter, right? So I think generally speaking, the command on the slider and just the general usage of the changeup and ability to locate it all over the zone is going to be what dictates if he can be a starter. But there's a world where Uriarte is a really good starter, not just, you know, an average starter. He has the upside of a guy who could be elite if he really gets those two off speed pitches working and his command working the way that he wants to. But you know, worst case, right? A super high leverage top tier reliever. And I know that's not what anybody wants in a prospect return, right? And I do think he has a really good shot to be a starter. But the movement he has and the strikeout and the swinging strikeout rates he has, that's a guy who, if he has to move to the bullpen, is the look of a closer. So, you know, exciting arm and just a lot to continue to grow with him. He's still young. He still has room to kind of build on some strength. I think you could see him get up in the high 90s, honestly, with his velocity as he continues to grow.
We are talking with Elijah Evans of Just Baseball and Future Sox. If you are a small business owner, I'm one, you know just how challenging things can get. But you're a natural born problem solver, so it's all good. Still, it doesn't hurt to have some good neighborly help. Like yourself, State Farm agents are also small business owners. This enables them to help you choose the right insurance coverage to fit your small business needs. So why not insure your small business with a fellow small business owner who also happens to be a good neighbor? Contact State Farm agent John Harrell, 708-481-4500. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Now, originally, when it was leaking out, those were the only two names, and I was underwhelmed.
Right.
And then I saw Samuel Zavala, and I read about the kid, and he's only 19, sure, but MLB Pipeline has him arriving possibly in 2025. He looks like at 18 years old. He did pretty well at the plate. And he looks like he plays defense and has an arm and could be added into that mix of who's going to be the eventual long-term right fielder on this team. Tell me about this guy.
Yeah, Zavala is interesting. I'm really young, right? So it's good that time. I think 2025 projected is a little bit overzealous on him, honestly. I do think he's more of a 2026 guy. I think, you know, he was really impressive at single A last year, kind of his first full professional season, getting, you know, to really experience the minor leagues in a full season. He got up there a little bit in 2022, but last year played 100 games in single A and was great. I mean, his walk rate's exceptional. So that's one thing that's always good to see from young players is a consistent approach at the plate. He knows how to get on base. He knows how to wait and find his pitches when he needs to. The strikeout rate is a little bit high. I think that's just how it happens with a young hitter. But generally speaking, gets on base a ton, a 420 on base percentage in single A. And someone that is athletic, he's got some speed. He's got some defense, like you mentioned. I think there's a chance as he fills out that he could be more of a corner guy, but he is playing center at this point. So he has center field ability and, you know, the chance to stick in center. I think he needs to get a little more impact with the bat. I don't know. 14 home runs is nice to see, don't get me wrong, but I don't think, from what I've seen and what I've read a little bit, it sounds like his exit velos and some of his impact at the plate is a little bit lower than you'd like to see from, you know, a true high-level prospect, right? But super young, and there's a lot to project. He's only 19 going into the season. He's got a lot of projectability. He's athletic. He's young. He has that approach, which is, you know, approach goes a long way. He only played a handful of games at high A last year, and he did struggle, but that's only, you know, a small sample, right? So he's going to need to kind of take that next step at the next level. I think considering what he did in single A, he's just going to go straight to Winston-Salem at high A level this year for the White Sox, just because he kind of proved everything he needed to prove at the single A level. So I do see him starting in Winston. And I think it's a guy who you're going to need to take some time with. And I think he needs to continue to add some strength, add to, you know, fill out his body a little bit. But generally speaking, there's a lot to like. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some swing adjustments, I think. But athleticism, speed, natural approach, a smart hitter from at that age, especially, which is interesting. It's, you know, it's not a surefire. I think there's a world where Zavala doesn't hit at all. And I think there's also a world where he's an MLB regular, right? So there's definitely a wide range of outcomes. But like you said, two pieces in that trade isn't enough. Getting a third guy that has that upside is the right move there, because you want to then go the upside route as opposed to going the route of a safe player. I would much rather, as a third piece in a deal, get a guy who has a lot of upside, even if there's some risk with his profile, as opposed to going for, you know, there was talks of some players in the Padres system who are already in AAA, or guys that are, you know, bouncing kind of right around the major league level almost, but aren't necessarily impact guys. I prefer Zavala to some of those guys because you at least have the upside to dream on, right? So it's going to be interesting. I don't love him as much as I like the two pitchers, just from a profile standpoint, because I do think there's a chance that he doesn't hit all that much at the highest levels. But approach, speed, defense, all good things. A guy that's going to take some time, but is at the very least a high upside guy in the lower levels of the minors.
Before I let you go, I do want to ask you just a prospect question here, because I think now that we're seeing Dylan Cease walk out the door or get traded away, and what we predicted here for months that was going to happen, which was Michael Kopech heading to the bullpen. You have a lot of questions about this rotation, and you have an awful lot of young pitchers in the system trying to get a spot. Now, Nick Nastrini has been the one that has made the most amount of waves, so I'll take him off the table, because if he doesn't make the rotation out of camp, I think we're going to see him this year. But besides Nastrini, of the young prospects in the system right now that we have not mentioned, because you mentioned Thorpe may be up here, you might even see Iriarte get a chance up here. Is there somebody else that you're expecting to see in 24, or is your best bet that you believe we're going to see in the rotation get a shot during this season?
Yeah. Well, so like you mentioned, you hit on this perfectly. I think at this point, I'd be shocked if Nastrini doesn't make the rotation. I would honestly be upset if he doesn't. I think Nastrini's earned it. He looks excellent. He looks ready. And I think Thorpe is the next up beyond that. But the one after that would be Jonathan Cannon, I think. I think Cannon's a guy who, you know, a third rounder 2 years ago, really high floor, advanced profile, just a guy who is command over everything else. He knows how to work his pitches. He's kind of been a guy in the past that's thrown 6-7 pitches. I talked to him in Arizona a few weeks ago, and he told me that he's kind of refining his game a little bit, and he's focused on only 4 pitches now, but he's really trying to just get his command in all different parts of the zone. It's a guy who's high floor, right? I don't think Cannon has the profile of, you know, a higher end rotation piece, but I think he has the floor of a back end rotation guy and could pretty soon be, you know, at least a 4 or 5 in a rotation. So I think Jonathan Cannon, even though he only got to Double-A last year, only just down the stretch of the season pitching Double-A, he actually spent more of the season in high A. But I think he's going to start in Birmingham this year. And I think if he has a strong start in Birmingham, he'll be up in Charlotte probably mid season. And then you could see a world where when some of the pitchers in the rotation, some of the veterans, if one or two of the veterans get flipped at the deadline, I think Cannon's a guy that August, September could also fill in alongside Nastrini and Thorpe. So that's an exciting thing to watch from a pitching perspective this year, because there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of question marks. I get it, right? But at the same time, you're looking at a team that could be starting 3-4 high-level prospects in the rotation by the end of the season. So it might not be pretty early on, and it might not even be pretty when the prospects come up, but at least you have a sense of the future building, and you're going to get to see at least 2, if not 3 or 4 of these young pitchers late in the season making starts for the White Sox, which at the end of the day, like, 2024 season is about that growth, and it's about seeing, you know, who's going to be part of the future. So the fact that we're going to get to watch multiple high level, top 100 level pitching prospects later in the season is pretty exciting to me as a prospect guy. And in addition, I want to mention one more guy, because I know you said rotation, right? But in terms of the bullpen, Jordan Leisure should make this team.
I feel like that guy, we got something there.
I hope that he makes the roster. I wouldn't say it's a guarantee. From talking to people in Arizona, it does not sound like it's fully a guarantee that he's going to make the roster. I think he's got a good shot. I think he should. I completely agree with you, though. I mean, I think he's the closer of this team. If it's not immediately, then pretty mid-season. I see no way that he doesn't finish the season as the closer for the White Sox. He's got some special stuff, and he knows how to use it, too. The guy who's super simplistic. He doesn't try to overcomplicate things. It doesn't sound like he gets pitching. I mean, I've talked to him multiple times. I did an interview with him. He knows how to pitch, and he knows how to pitch with what he has and just focus on his 2 pitches that are excellent. He's added a curveball in addition to his slider and fastball over the last year. He just knows how to get guys out, and he knows how to dominate guys out of the bullpen in one inning starts. He hasn't given up a run, I think, in spring training. And it's just been, I mean, just, he looks like the best reliever on the team right now, which is crazy for a guy who hasn't even made his debut. But I think he'll be in the bullpen. And I also think Prelander Burrow is another guy to watch. He's dealing with an arm issue right now, so he's kind of probably going to miss the rest, if not the most of the rest of spring training. But Baroa, coming from the Mariners this offseason, is a guy with another powerful stuff, you know, a ton of just lively slider, two versions of his slider, a really good fastball. And the command is iffy at times, but Baroa is another guy that I think we could see in the back of the bullpen with leisure pretty soon.
Awesome. Elijah Evans, nice enough to jump on with us from Just Baseball and Future Sox. And you mentioned that you've been talking to these guys. I've been following you on social media and paying attention to what you're doing down there. You do great work. And I love hearing what you're telling me, because it, from the very beginning here on this show, of this offseason, of the Chris Getz tenure, I've said, I know he's got to flip his roster, but I want him to flip a roster in a way in which we're not going into a 3-4 year rebuild. And to hear the flip be completed, to see all of this, and then to hear these guys are coming, they're coming quick, and it's exciting, and there's some good stuff. You know, I understand 2024 isn't going to be what I want, but I am already geeked for 2025 and beyond. So that's that. And at least I'm not waiting until 2027, Elijah.
Yep. I completely agree with you, Chris. I couldn't agree more, because I don't, it is a retool. It's truly a retool. It's adjusting, but the farm system right now is in a better place than it has been in a long time, my friend. And it is not only depth, but players that are not that far away, which is exactly why 2025 for me is going to be really exciting. And I think there's a world where this team is truly competitive in 2026, even, you know, the year 2025 into 2026. Like, it's not going to be a 5-year rebuild. It is a shorter rebuild. There's a lot of prospects in the upper part of the minors that are going to be here soon. And it's an exciting time. So I appreciate you bringing me on to talk about it a little bit.
On the phone line with us right now, as he is every week, the Sox nerd, Dave Maron. He puts up all those interesting tidbits and trivia messages on the scoreboard at the rate throughout the season. You will see those soon, but he tries a lot of it out and gives us some extra stuff every week here on Sox in the Basement. And he is brought to you proudly by the Village of Lamont. Want to experience a downtown with real history, great eats and drinks, and green spaces filled with adventure? Visit the Village of Lamont. Shop, dine, drink, explore, and see everything they have going on this weekend and beyond at LamontDowntown.com. Nerd, what's going on?
Chris, Dylan Cease is headed west, but this isn't the first time the White Sox have dealt their ace to San Diego. On December 6, 1984, Sox traded Lamar Hoyt, 1 year removed from a 24-win Cy Young season, to the Padres in a 7-player blockbuster. That controversial swap turned out okay for the Sox, as they netted a little-known scrawny shortstop named Ozzie Guillen. Let's just call this the Dylan Cease appreciation segment. The hard-throwing Georgian was appointment viewing from the moment he debuted, when fans flocked to the seats above the bullpen to watch him warm up, to his last appearance in a Sox uniform, which was an 8-strikeout performance in 3 1/3 innings on Tuesday. My favorite Cease memory is an obvious one. On September 3rd, 2022, he fired a dominating one-hit shutout at the Minnesota Twins. Guaranteed Rate Field was crackling that night as Cease used his heat and trademark slider to no-hit the Twins for 8 2/3 innings. He just had to be careful with hit machine Luis Arraez, and the coveted no-no would be his. With Kyle Garlick 0-2 and 2 strikeouts in the on-deck circle, I distinctly remember thinking, there would be no shame in pitching around Arraez, who is arguably the best hitter in the game. But Cease challenged him and paid for it, as Arraez lined a solid single to right to break up the no-no. Adding to the frustration was that Cease struck out Garlick swinging on 4 pitches to end it. That was kind of a microcosm of the recent Sox era for me. So close, but not quite achieving greatness. Cease departs as the White Sox all-time leader with an average of 10.8 strikeouts per 9 innings, and the only pitcher in big league history to allow no more than 1 earned run in 14 straight starts. Cease did that during his magical 2022 season, when he finished 2nd in the Cy Young voting to Houston's Justin Verlander. One more. Cease really joined the ranks of some of the great names in Sox history in a relatively short amount of time. For example, he and Ed Walsh, a true franchise icon, are the only Sox righties with three consecutive 200 strikeout campaigns. Before I get to my zinger, I remind you that pearls like these and others are on my blog, which can be accessed at SoxInTheBasement.com. My zinger? How about a real deep one on Cease for the road? No pitcher wearing a higher number has struck out more batters in a game than Dylan Cease. On June 26, 2022, Cease, wearing 84, whiffed a career-high 13 batters. Prior to that, two pitchers wearing 99, the Dodgers' Hyun-Jin Ryu and the Mets' Taijuan Walker, had 12 strikeout games. That's it, Chris. More than you probably wanted to know about Cease, Ozzie, Kyle Garlick, and high numbers.
Best wishes to Nancy Faust. That's her playing right there on Sox in the Basement. Right before she was scheduled to play at Camelback Ranch for Sox Cubs, she unfortunately broke her ankle and had to have surgery. Get well soon, Nancy. We need to see more of you at the ballpark. The White Sox are really missing the boat on getting Nancy Faust out to games. This is the kind of season you gotta find reasons for people to be at the ballpark. I'm calling for Nancy Faust Sundays. Get on it, Brooks Boyer. Meanwhile, Chris Getz, get on Michael Lorenzen, or another pitcher. Steal Lorenzen from the Yankees. Wouldn't it be great to just take Michael Lorenzen from the Yankees, who are also trying to get him as a starting pitcher, right after we didn't give the Yankees Dylan Cease?
Don't forget, Drew Thorpe was a Yankee. They traded him to the Padres for Soto.
So think about this. Here are Yankee fans beating their chests like, you'll take what we give you and like it, you stupid White Sox fans. Like, we were the Yankees. We don't give up that much for Dylan Cease. You should just give him to us. What are you going to do with him? And then we end up with Drew Thorpe. They end up with nothing. They turn their attention to Lorenzen. And supposedly the two teams in on Lorenzen right now are the Yankees and the White Sox. Wouldn't it be amazing to then take their next choice from them as well? I know we're not going to win anything this year, but that would make me happy.
Sox in the basement. Sox in the basement. Sox in the basement.
Sox in the basement. Heard everywhere a podcast can be found. And always on SoxInTheBasement.com.